It's
Daf
people have
is
questions.
Tes Zayim. We got down to around 10 lines or so. The two dots, Pitum and Shemen. The Gemara says, Pitum Shemen HaMishcha, the way of making the Shemen HaMishcha. So this Gemara explains, Vata Kachlecha V'gomer. You take the various Mesamim, you take the Mordura and whatnot, V'kida Chamesh Meos, V'gomer, the end of the Pasuk, Hein Elef Chamesh Meos Manim. You count all the different amounts, it comes to a total of 1,500 amounts of the various spices and oils. So Shemen Zayis Hin, Shneimas Har Lug. The amount of the olive oil hin is equal to 12 lug. And Shebo Shulkin, that you would cook as a ikar, and you take the roots of these different herbs, these spices, and you'd cook it. Divrei Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Yehuda Omer, Shulkin Haya, that Bibayim, they'd actually just cook them, the whole besamim, not just the roots, but the entire amount, in water. And Venosin Shemen al Gabayim, and then they'd place oil on top of the water that cooked with these herbs. And then the oil would then soak up the smell from these spices. Mishahaya kolet esareach hayamaviro, and when the oil had absorbed the smell, so then they take the oil off. Kiderach shepatamim osim, that's the way they make oil. So again, I don't really know how this is actually done. I'm just reading what's here, but probably be fascinating to see how people make scented oils, but that's what's being described here. I thought it was about whether you use the roots only or the entire amount.
Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you first put the root, you put the roots in the water, and then you take them out, and then you put the oil on them.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay, so again,
according to Rabbi Meir, everything goes together.
You put the oil together with the spices.
Yeah.
As opposed to him, first you cook the spice in the water,
right,
then you mix the oil.
Which, I guess, in science, the water and the oil don't mix. So if you put them all together, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it wouldn't absorb the oil, because the water is going to keep it separate.
Separates. The spice goes to the bottom, and the water.
Maybe that's why.
Okay. That's what it means in the Pasuk. Shemen Mishchas Kodesh. Okay, they first make the Shemen Mishchas, and then, I'm not sure how that's proof from this Pasuk. So, fine. Gemara now says, sorry?
It's the end of the Pasuk, that's fine.
Let's see, the end of the Pasuk. Rokach Mrakachas Maase Rokeach Shemen Mishchas Kodesh Yehiyah. So I guess it sounds like you first do the grinding or the cooking of the spices, and then you put the oil in afterwards. I guess that's the implication from the pasuk. Okay. Marnal says, Tani Rabbi Yehuda Bei Rabbi Eli. Shemen HaMishcha She'asa Moshe Bamidbar Ma'isa Nisim Nasa Bo Mitchila Vato. From the beginning to the end of the process, it was full of miracles. This is what Gemara increases as well. Shemitchila Lohaya Bo El Shemasar Lug Shenemar Shemen Zaisin. In the beginning, there's only 12 amounts of oil. And im lasach bas haikarim, if lo haya bo sipik, if it was just this small amount to rub oil on the roots, so then it wouldn't be enough. Ba'achat kama makama, how much more so that she'or bolea. Now, when you boil it, the fire is going to cause some of it to absorb or to really evaporate. Va'etim bolim, and then the wood, and was going to also absorb some of the oil as well. V'hayore bolas, and then the big vat's going to absorb some of the oil too. Mimenu nimshech la'mashkim v'chol kela. But yet, even though it started with 12 lug, and certainly decreased over the process, it still was enough to anoint the mishkan and the kelim. Hashulchan v'chol kela, v'hamenorah v'chol kela. Umimenu nimshech la'aron kohen gadol v'banav, and Aaron and all his children were also anointed with the same oil. Kol shivesh yimei amilum, every single day with this oil, and mimenu nimshchu kohanim gadol mimlachim, and this was the same oil that was used to anoint generations later of kohanim gadolim along with kings. So that was a tremendous thing that happened, that the quantity never ended. So Gemara says melch betchila ton meshicha. When the king first becomes anointed, he requires becomes crowned, he requires an anointment. Melech ben melech ain tar meshicha, but a prince who then is appointed king afterwards, he doesn't require meshicha since his father already received one. My time, what's the reasoning for this? Kum meshachau ki zehu. So he gets up and tells Hashem, tells Shmuel, go ahead and anoint David to be king. Ki zehu, him, this one, tar meshicha. Only David requires the meshicha. Vein abeno, but his son and Shlomo and other sons of Malchus David does not require tar meshicha. About Kohen Gadol, Ben Kohen Gadol, Afilu Ad Asar Daros, Ton Meshicha. But Kohen Gadol, and even a son of a Kohen Gadol, who himself becomes appointed Kohen Gadol, each new Kohen Gadol requires a new Meshicha. Gemara says, V'chulam Kaim Lasid lavo, and even after this shemen mishcha is going to be around forever, that's what it means. Shemen mishchas kodesh yezeh li dor seichem. So zeh the gematria is 12, so it's going to be 12 forever. It's always going to remain 12 lug li doros. Shkoyach, that sounded so good when you opened it up. How do you know I wanted? Okay, shkoyach. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam she'hakol nehyeh bidvaro.
Amen. I
thought
you were opening the beer.
Shkoyach. Okay. Gemara now says, Ein moshchin amlachim ela agabe mayon. When you anoint the king, you only anoint the king over a spring of water. Shenemar, as it says in Melachim Aleph, Virkavtem et Shlomo b'ni al hapirda. You should put Shlomo on the mule. And Shali, that I have. V'radetem also el gichon. You put him next to the water, the mayon. U'mashach also sham tzadok ha-kohen. Tzadok ha-kohen should anoint him there. V'nasin ha-navi l'melech al yisrael. And he should be appointed by the tzadok ha-kohen, by Nasin ha-navi, to become the king. So there's an Indian to be having the Mashiach next to the gichon, or the gichon, or the mayon. So Gemara then says, Ein moshchin melech ben melech ela b'pnei ha-machlokes. The only time you, even though we said above, you don't have to anoint a prince. If the prince becomes a king, you don't have to anoint him unless there's a machlokas here. So the Gemara is about to explain this. There is a machlokas Rashi Rambam here about this. I'm trying to remember this. Rashi and Krisus and the Rambam and Hilchas Malachim. They have a debate when there's a melech ben melech that requires Mashiacha. Because the machlokas is that simply you really don't need one. Mikra din, there's no need for Mashiacha. It's just simply to help deal with all the machlokas, but it really isn't necessary. Or, one of the, I forget who says which one, when there's a machlokas, that severs the malchus ben melch ben melch. It no longer exists. And it's as if that melch ben melch is becoming appointed king for the very first time, and he's not part of a dynasty. That's the machlokas between Rashi, Rambam. Again, whether fundamentally you do require, once there's a machlokas, does that melch ben melch require one, mikra din, or it's simply just because of machlokas to help deal with everybody, but mikra din, he doesn't really require the Mashiach. So Gemara says, the Chashmonaim, when they became kings,
yeah.
That much I don't know. That itself was an Issa deraisa that they violated. The Ramban says that's why they were all wiped out. And the Gemara in Bava Basra says, because Lo Yasu Sheva Miyuhuda, the Pasuk says in Parshas Vayechi, Ramban says that was the Issa that they violated becoming kings. Whether they had a Mashiach there, I don't know though. I'm not sure. Okay. Gemara says, Mipnei Ma Nimshach Shlomo. Why was Shlomo anointed if he was a Melech ben Melech? Mipnei Machlok Toshel Daniyahu. He did Machlokas with his brother, who was going to be the king. Yoash Mipnei Asaliah, he was also anointed because even though he was the son of Ahaziah, who himself was a king, he had machlokas with his brother Asaliahu. Yehoahaz, he also was anointed. Why? Even though he was the son of a king, the son of Yoshiyahu. Mipnei Yehoyakim, Achiv, his brother Yoakim, Shayagadu Mimenu Shtei Sharam. He had an older brother who was actually not appointed king, and that's why, because of machlokas, that's why Yehoahaz required a Mashiach as well. And then Yehu also required a Mashiach, even though he was the son of a king, because Mipnei Yoram, his brother, also wanted to become king. So that's why these situations of a melech ben melech of the machlokas required a Mashiach. Mara says, Lo king ksiv, does not say in the pasuk in Shmuel, Kum mishecheo ki zehu, zeh tal mashiach vein malchi yisal tunash mashiach. We made a dik before. The only zeh, only based of it, requires a Mashiach, but those who are only from Malchi Yisrael don't require Mashiach. We know there's Malchus David and there's Malchus Yehuda. So only Malchus Yehuda requires, but not Malchus Yisrael. So Ella, the Gemara explains differently. The reason why Yehoach is Mipnei Yehoyakim, Achiv Shayagodim Mimenu Shtei Shanim. Really, Yehoachaz, who came from Malchus Yisrael, didn't require Mashiach. But because he had an older brother, Yehoyakim, who was 2 years older than him, this was the one exception where Malchus Yisrael did require Mashiach. Gemara says, V'lo Yesho Ganazo. Wait a second, it didn't exist. Yoshiyahu hid the Shemar Mishcha. It wasn't available. It wasn't around for Yoyachid to use. Yoyachid to use. The Gemara says, Hada Amra b'afsam nimshach. He wasn't using the Shemar Mishcha. He was using some other oils, other scented oils that they made on their own, but it wasn't the Shemar Mishcha that came from Moshe Rabbeinu. Gemara now says, Ein Moshchin hamlachim elam min hakeren. Also, when you do the anointment of a king, use it from a keren, a horn. Shaul v'yehu Nimshachu min apach. They actually were anointed with a pach shel shemen, a little jug. Hayisa malchus on malchus, so therefore it didn't last forever. It wasn't continuous. But David, Ushlomo, Nimshechu, Mina Keren, Haisa Malchus and Malchus Kayemis. That's the Indian of the horn, somehow the shofar indicates a nitzchias of some sort. So Gemara then says, Ein Moshchin Kohanim Malachim. So this is your point now, Chashmonaim, the Lachid, you can't appoint a Kohen to become a king. The Gemara says, Amr Yehuda, Antun Draya Al Shem, you came from a certain place, Al Shem Lo Yasu Shem Yehuda. So the Bavli doesn't quote this pasuk here, that doesn't quote the Isser, but the Ramban and Parsha Vechi we just mentioned, I don't know if he quotes this Gemara here or not, but it's a Mefurish Yerushalmi that there's an Isser deraisa of Lo Yasu Shem Yehuda for a Kohen to become a Melech. So the Gemara then says, Amr Rabbi Yechia Bar Ada, the man Yarich Yamim Al Mamlachto, who one of Bekerv Yisrael. So the reason why you don't is it's going to cause a loss. Hold on one second. Right. In connection to these psukim are two prakim apart. There may even be two psukim next to each other. But that in order for the malchus to extend itself, the very next pasuk tells us, but however, you can't have kohanim levim to be part of the malchus. So this is a different pasuk that he quotes, that there's an iser for a kohen or levi to be a melech. Gemara now says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, who Yochanan, who Yoachas. It's the same person. Yochanan is Yoachas. So, v'haksiv ha-bechor Yochanan. But doesn't it say, the bechor is Yochanan? And second here. Right. So we said before, he said Yoachas had an older brother, Yehoyakim. But now, if we're saying Yoachas is really Yochanan, and the pasuk refers to Yochanan as a Bechor, so then he wasn't Bechor. Was he the oldest or was he not the oldest? So Gemara says Bechor Lamalchus. Really, in terms of chronology, he wasn't the oldest, but he was a Bechor, and that he became the Melech, and that's why he was the first in terms of Malchus. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, who Shalom, who Tzidkiyo, the same person, the two different names. Actually, doesn't the pasuk explicitly say that they're two separate people? Ashlishi Tzidkiyo, Ravi Shalom, the listing names of a family, and we say Tzidkiyo and Shalom are two different individuals. Gemara says, Shlishi Litoldos, he was third in the order of birth, Ravi Lamalchus, but he was the fourth of the ones to become king. So there was the list here, the whole order, he's the fourth one, even though he's the third oldest. Tzidkiyo, why was he called Tzidkiyo? Shetzidek Allah Midas Adin, that he was justified in giving a punishment when he had shechted apparently his own children, and he right. The Shalom was named called Shalom because Shabiyam of Shalma Malchus Beis David, because in his time Malchus Beis David was wiped out, not Shalom as in peace, but Shalma to be complete, and Shalem it no longer existed. So the Gemara says, Lo Shalom Havashmei, Lo Tzidkiyo Havashmei. Neither one was a name, it was just a description of what he had done. So what was his real name then, if it wasn't Tzidkiyo, if it wasn't Shalom? Elamatanya was his name. Hadu Dichsev, that's what it says in Melachim Beis, Vayimlech Melach Bavel El Matanya, Dodo Tachta Vayasev Eis, Es Shemo Tzidkiyo. Gemara now says, Amar B'Yochanan, and Ba'ama, now we're going back to the discussion of the Aron and the various Midos and the Luchos. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ba'ama, Shal Shisha Tfachim, Haya Aron Asri. There are two types of Amos we have in the Gemara. One's a six Tefach, each Tefach is like a fist. So one Amma is six fists, and another Amma is a five fifths. So he holds it's a Amma, Shal Shisha Tfachim, Haya Aron Asri. It was the length of six Tfachim. That's the Ammas they used. And we're going to do some calculations now. This appears also in Gemara Basra and Gemara and Sukkah as well, I think. So Man Tana, Ba'ama Shel Shisha Tvachim, Rabbi Meir, he's the one who holds that an Amma of the Aron is six Tvachim. The Mishnah tells us in Maseches Kalim, Rabbi Meir, Omer, Kol Ha'amos Hayu Beinonis. All the Amos in the Beis HaMikdash were used Beinonis, with the exception of the Mizbeach. And Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Amos HaBinyan. And he says, no, only the building of the walls, but not the Kalim. And Shisha, Habinin Shisha and Shalkalim, Habinin Shal Shisha and Shalkalim Chamisha. So anything have to do with walls, things that were stationary, were six, but if it was the Kalim were made of five. Rabbi Meir holds that all the Amos in the base of Mikdash were always used for Shisha, so we see that they have a Machokas Kalim, or Kalim five Tvachim Amos, or were they six Tvachim Amos? So Rabbi Meir, the one who holds six Tvachim Amos, he's the one above. Rabbi Yochanan's quoting. So Al Date, according to Rabbi Meir, Al Date the Rabbi Meir, Du Amar, Ba'ama Shel Shisha Tvachim, Haya Arun Asri, that the Amos used for the dimensions of the Arun were six Tvachim long. So Orkel Shel Arun, Chamisha Asar Tvachim. Now the length is going to be 15 Tvachim long, because we know that 2.5 Amos is the length of the Arun. So 2.5 Amos, which is really 6 Tvachim each, so 6 times 2.5 ends up giving us 15. Dichsiv Amosayim v'chetzi Arko. So it's 2.5 Amos long, which is 15 Tvachim long. Amsa Ashisa, Amsa Ashisa, an Amma 6, Amma 6, and then Upalgas Amsa, then another half an Amma, plus another 3, that gives us a total of 15 Tvachim long. Now, Arba Luchos Hayubo, there were 4 Luchos in the Arum. There were the broken Luchos, the first set, and then the second set. Shnaim Shleimim, Shnaim Shvurim, 2 full ones and 2 broken ones. Dichsev Asher Shibarte Vesamtam Baron, that which you broke, you should store them in the Arum. So now let's see the length of the Luchos. Haluchos Hayu Kolechad Ve'echad, each one was Arko Shisha Tfachem Rachbo Shisha. There were 6 by 6, each of the Luchos. So now, V'tein Archon Shel Ruchos.
6 by 3.
6 by.
Change it to Shlosha.
Yeah?
Parentheses.
Okay. So, but I end up, one sec. But no, I think with a line, but they're next to each other, ends up being a total of 6 by 6, though.
Well, each one is.
6 by 3, but the. But now it's both tablets together, 6 by 6. So each one's a total of 6 by 6. Right. The first 5 is 6 by 3, the second 5 is 6 by 3, which is a total of 6 by 6. And the second Luchos are also the same thing. 6 by 3 each tablet, which totals 6 by 6 overall. Right? So I think that's the only difference, whether referring to the overall Luchos or each individual Luchos. So the Gemara now says, V'tein Arkon Shaluchos La'arkon Shal Aron. So now if you line up, imagine, let's say this is the Aron here. This is the Aron. And imagine this is 15 Tvachim long, this Aron. So you put 6 Tvachim of the Luchos here, another 6 Tvachim here, that's 12. And then you have another 3 Tvachim for the remaining part to get to the 15th. So again, Tein Arkon Shal Luchos, La'arkon Shal Aron, Nishtayar Sham Shlosha Tvachim. So at the end, you've got 3 Tvachim, which is open. And now, Tein Meham Chati Tefach L'chokosa. Now the walls of the Aron each took a half a Tefach up. So that's now a total of 1 tefach that leaves us 2 tefachim at the end of open space. So again, tein mehem chati tefach lechol kosel. Nishtayar shnei tefachim lesefer Torah. Now there are 2 tefachim that were available to place the Sefer Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu inside there. So Marna says, what about the rachbon shel aron? What about the width this way? So rachbon shel aron tisha tefachim was 9 tefachim wide. Dichsiv amma v'chati rachbo. It's an amma and a half in the width. So Amsa Shisa, each Amma is 6 Tvachim. Upalgas, now another half of an Amma is another 3 Amsa. Tlasa is another 3, that's 9 Tvachim. V'arba Luchos Hayubo. So now it's 9 Tvachim this way. And now we have 4 Tvachim, 4 Luchos to deal with, Hayubo. That's going to be Shnaim Shleimim, Shnaim Shvurim. Dichsav Asher Shibartim, V'samtim V'aron. They were there as well, as we mentioned before. V'aluchos Hayukolechav Yechad Arkon Shisha Tvachim, Rachman Shisha Tvachim. There are 6 total. So now, going this way, there are 6 Tvachim wide. There's going to be 3 Tvachim of space on this end as well, going up the whole length of the Aron. So the Gemara now says, so Tein Rachman Shaluchos, the Rachman Shal Aron, place the width corresponding to the width of the Aron. Nishtay Sham Shlosha Tvachim. Now there are 3 Tvachim of space on the end here. Chati tevach mikan chati lekosel zev, chati tevach mikan lekosel zev. Now the walls of these, the Aron is a half a tevach. That totals a full tevach of taking up space. So that leaves us a tvachayim l'shila makom shesefer Torah munach. That gives us 2 tvachim for space. So now, right now on top of the Aron, you stuck the sefer Torah inside here. It's kind of jammed in there. We have some extra space along the whole width here to have some ability to maneuver the sefer Torah to take it in and out if you ever need it. That's why there's extra space. That's what the Gemara explains here. So that's a discussion whether or not the Tzentenet Shem Aman. So that's a machlokes, whether that was inside or whether that was outside. I don't remember the Gemara talks about it here. We'll see in a second. But I know the Gemara in Babas addresses it. If there's empty space, the Gemara says it fit in there at empty space. According to the other opinion, which was 5 Tvachim Amos, there was no empty space. There's a little platform that it was on the outside of the Aron, according to that opinion. That's what the Bavli says. We'll see if the Yushalmi says this. Okay, the Gemara says, Where are we? Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Omer, Bama bas chamisha tvachim haya aron asay. He felt that it was five tvachim long. So now we have to do all the calculations in a different way. Man tama bama bas chamisha tvachim. Who holds that the kalim were using five tvachim long amos? That's Rabbi Yehuda, like we saw in the Mishnah above, the Tanin and Tamar in the Mesechet Kalim. The Rabbi Yehuda Omer, amos habin and shisha. Any of the amos used for the building of the Beis Hamikdash was six tvachim. However, the shel kalim were only chamisha. V'ahein arun klihu, and the arm of course was a kli, so there was five tefachim amos that were used for it. So adaite de Rabbi Yehuda, according to Yehuda's opinion, du amar ba'amasha chamisha tefachim, that he holds that there are five tefachim long amos. Let's do the math. Hayarko also shnei masar tefachim mechza. So now the length of the arun is only 12.5 tefachim. Dichsav amosaim v'chetzi arko, 2.5 amos. So 2.5 amos times five is going to give us. What, 11 point, we just said it here, but 12.5, right? 12.5 in length. So amsa, chamisha, v'amsa, v'chamisha. Each amma is a 5, that's 10 total. And a palgas amsa, another half, that's trey palgas, another 2.5, that gives us a total of 12.5 in the length this way. Now, the arba luchos hayubo, shnayim, shleim, shnayim, shvurim, dichsev, asher, shirati, shemant, tisam, tibarum. So we know that both luchos were there. Here everybody agrees it was 6 tefachim long. So now we've got 6 tefachim, 6 tefachim, that's 12 tefachim. That only gives us a half a tefach of space on the top of the aron. Now, we're not even addressing right now the width of the coat, the walls. So now the Gemara says, Tein arkon shaluchos l'arko sh'aron, v'nishtar sham chati tefach. So now you only have half a tefach of space on top. Etzbalakosa mikan. Now you have to assume there's no room for half a tefach according to this opinion. There's only room for a finger width of the wall. So the wall is much thinner according to this opinion. And now that leaves us what? Only two fingers space between the luchos and the end of the aron. So then the Gemara says, Rochban shel aron. If it's half a tefach, so half a tefach is really two fingers. So now, if each wall is one finger, imamish shaluchos touch the end of the walls. There are no empty spaces in the arum. Now, in terms of the rochbo shalom, the width, shiva tefachim mechza. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's only 7.5 tefachim wide. Why? Dichsiv amma v'chaytzei rachbo. It's 1.5 amos. And amsa chamisha. So each amma is 5 tefachim. Palgos amma, so another half an amma is treyu palag. So that totals 7.5. Now, arba luchos hayubo, shnayim shleim shnayim shvurim dichsav asher shibart shalam tembarum. Luchos hayakol echad v'echad arkon shisha tefachim v'rachma shisha tefachim. So we know it's 6 tefachim wide. So now, tain rachbon l'rachbo sharon. Now match up the width of the luchos to the width of the aron. V'nishtayr sham tefachu mechza. There's a 1.5 tefachim of space. Now etzba lakosa mikan, etzba lakosa mikan. Now take off a one finger for the width of each of the walls. So now that gives us chati tefach. Mikan v'chatzi tefach mikan l'shilat. So now, if you put the aron in the center, there's half a tefach on each side, which is empty space, if ever you need to take the luchos out. But according to this Siman Damar, Rabbi Yehuda, there is no space to place the Sefer Torah Moshe Rabbeinu inside the aron. Okay, so Gemara now says, a basic thing we know from Rashi, and the Gemara in Yuma says this as well, Ketad asa betzal et aron. How did betzal build the aron? So Rabbi Chanina Amar shal shevos aso. He made 3 boxes. Shtayim shel zav ve'achas shel eitz. 2 were made of gold. 1 was made of wood. And nasan shel zav besocha shel eitz. Bishel eitz. They placed the golden one inside the wooden one. And then the shel eitz bishel zav. And then they placed the wooden one inside the bigger golden one. So it was gold, wood, gold. V'tzipau. And then the top of it, which was exposed, they had put a layer of gold covering up the wood that was now sandwiched between these 2 gold boxes. And then they had covered, they had a layer of gold on the outside. So to add that they coated on top of that, top of the wood wall, the wood box, a coating of gold. That's all according to the first mandam of Rabbi Chanina. But Rabbi Shimon Malakash Amar, he says no. Teva achas aso, there is 1 box. Bitzipau, it was made of wood, and they just covered the wood in gold. They put a layer of gold on it, but it weren't 3 boxes. It was all 1 box, so just painted in gold. So the Gemara says, Dichsav, how do you know? Bitzipiso, sozov, tar mi bais mechutz. Matam lomer titzapanu. So Amar Rabbi Pinchas, lavi beineser leneser. Between each board?
Boards, yeah.
I thought it was 1 box, though. When you put the board, before you attach the boards to each other, the box, you put gold in between each corner?
There were gaps between the boards.
Uh-huh. How the gaps between the boards? Okay. Why? Didn't you nail them together? Or some? Not sure exactly the Metzias here. Okay, either way, there was one box.
The pieces that were joined together at the edges.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
So that was covered before the...
Look, tiny cracks. You kind of filled those tiny cracks with some gold.
The edge.
Yeah, yeah, the crack, yeah.
That was so covered before.
Right, the cracks.
It had to look like it was one board.
Before they did it.
It had to, like, seam it together.
Right, so where you saw the seams, where it came together,
right,
you just filled it in with the gold. Okay. The Gemara now says, Ketzad ha-yaluchas k'suvim. How are the luchos written? So Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Omer, Chamisha luachzeh, Chamisha aluachzeh, right? Each one had five of the dibros on them, the way we see it on the top of the Aron, on top of the Aron Kodesh it is. So then, that's what it says in the Pasuk. Vayichtevei mal shnei luchos avanim. There are two different rocks, five on each of the avanim. Chamisha aluachzeh, v'chamisha aluachzeh. So Rabbanan Amri Rabbanan say, no, asar aluachzeh, v'asar aluachzeh. No, you had 10 on each one. So on each one you wrote, on each side it had, let's say the first luchos, first set was the first five on this side, on the opposite side of the first five as well. And the second Evan had the last five on this side and the last five on that side. This way it could be read, no matter which side of the luchos you're on, you were able to read it. Okay? Now this goes against the Bavli. The Bavli says you were able to read on both sides because that was B'nai Sayu. It was only written once, but B'nai Sayu. So Gemara says, "Hadehu dechsev." That's what it says. "Vayagi lachem es briso ashet tziva tzchem la'asos aseres hadvarim," which means they're darshening asara aluach zeh v'asara aluach zeh. Each luach, each stone had a total of 10 luchos on them. So then there's a third opinion. That's Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer. Rabbi Shimon Yochai Omer, "Esrim aluach zeh v'esrim aluach zeh." There are 20 on each of them. How does he know this? So they kind of, it was more like a box, it seems. So let's see. Dichsev ayichtevem al shnei luchos avanim. They wrote them, the shnei luchos on rocks. Esrim aluach zev, esrim aluach zev. So what's the drasha here?
Yeah, 20.
Vayichtevem, they wrote them. Aluchos avanim, they wrote all of them.
Al shnei, it says, written on both sides.
Luchos is already...
Uh-huh.
The double
it. So how did it look, though?
The Ten Commandments, they were written on the front, and they're written on the back.
And then, you know, on each rock, all 10. All 10 on each side of both the stones. Okay. Fine. Then the fourth opinion is Rabbi Simai Omer, Arbaim Aluchazev, Arbaim Aluchazev, 40 on each of them. As you know, Dichsiv, it says, Mizeh, Mizeh, Ha'ivahin Ksuvim. That's another additional thing. On each one, it's written 40. Tetroga, which is a box. It seems like there was each one was a box. What?
Four-sided.
That's a cube. So it was a cube. Each stone was a cube on each side of the cube.
Greek word for four.
Okay, very good. So very good. I think it has it also here probably. But either way, so it was a box. Each side of the box had all 10 dibros. Hananya ben Achi, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Bain called Dibor v'Dibor, between each of the Dibros, Diktukea, Vosioseha, Shel Torah, it was written in, I guess, small print, all the various Diukim and reasons and Chidushim, Dichsiv, it says in Shiashim, Mimuloim, Betarshish. It was filled in Tarshish. What does that mean? That Kiyama Rabba, it was filled in between all the letters, like the Yama Gadol, like the large Yama Rabba, the Yama Gadol. A vast water of Torah was in between each of the dibros. Rabbi Shimon Lakish kad havemati hadein kraya. When I got to this pasuk, Havamar said, "Yafo limdani Chananya ben Achi Rabbi Yeshua." So nice did he darshan to me. Ma yamazeh ben gal gadol lega gadol gam katanim. Between each large wave, there are smaller waves. Kach ben kol dibor v'dibor diktukei avosiasa shatar. So too, between each of the dibros, the big wave, if you will, there were small waves, there were smaller halachas to be taught here. Let's keep going, right? The Gemara now says, Amri b'tanchuma iskashias komei Rabbi Pinchas Asya Rabbi Yehuda. So I asked the question from Rabbi Pinchas that, like Rabbi Yehuda, that lo asya Rabbi Meir. That he paskin apparently like Rabbi Yehuda with the size of the Aron, that the Sefer Torah wasn't inside the Aron because there's no space, it was on the outside. But and the pasuk doesn't go like Rabbi Meir that held the Sefer Torah was inside. Why? My time with Rabbi Yehuda. It says mitzad. It sounds like it's being placed on the outside in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, "Adai to Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar heichan haya sefer Torah nasan kamin gluskia asur lami bechutz haya sefer Torah nasan besocha." There's a small little box that was on the outside of the Aron, and that's where the sefer Torah was placed in, according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. That seems to be the understanding of the pasuk of mitzad Aron. So my time with Rabbi Meir, why did Rabbi Meir think that the Sefer Torah was inside the Aron? The pasuk says, "V'nasat es ha-kaporos al ha-aron milamala." You place the kaporos, that was the covering on top of the Aron. "V'el ha-aron titen es ha-edus asher eitein alecha." And inside the Aron, you place the edus. So what's the edus? This is referring to the Sefer Torah, it's the edus. So daita the Rabbi Meir, according to Rabbi Meir, du'amar, this is what it means, ein muktam amucha ha-Torah. There's no order of the Torah. "Ela v'el ha-aron titen es ha-edus asher eitein alecha," that I will give you. Because even though it says place the kaporos first and then it says place the edus in, well, how do you place the edus in if you already put the cover on? So you must hold that there's no order even within the same pasuk. So it really means place the kaporos on the box and right after you've placed the edus, the Torah, inside the aron. That's how he's understanding. Gemara now says, Rabbi Pinchas b'shem Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, HaTorah shenasan lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe, the Torah that he gave us, nitna lo esh levana Harusa Be'esh Shor. Very famous line of Chazal here, that it was black ink on top of white, rather black fire on top of white fire, and that's how it's given. Hi'esh Muvleles Be'esh. It's a fire that gets mixed with fire, and Hachatuva Me'esh. That is what etched out from Me'esh. What do they say?
Hewn from the fire. Yeah.
Hewn from the fire. Unesuna Meish, and it came from fire Hashem, and Dichsev Miminu Eish Das Lamu. So that Sefer Torah that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu was full of Eish. It was from Eish. It was a white Eish. It was black Eish. It was mixed of Eish. It was all full of Eish. Okay, we will stop here. Looks like we.
I know people outside.
Yeah.
Did I ask?